Of course, this is such a central passage, in the Gospels, and also, of course, it's really the unique revelation of Jesus. No other figure in the whole history of religions ever selected a single virtue to place as the highest virtue. Not only does Jesus do it, but he also makes it love, a virtue which in so many other religions is subordinate to justice, subordinate to many other, virtues. But in this particular case, Jesus selects this very interpersonal virtue and makes it the very top of the virtues. And this, you know, when Jesus does it, it has three consequences. The first is, you know, as you know, he takes a very heavy commandment. That means a very important one in Judaism, right? Which is, of course, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, your soul, your heart, and your strength, right? This is the great Deuteronomic Shema Yisrael, you know, commandment. And that's a very heavy commandment. And then he combines it with a light commandment from Leviticus to love your neighbor as yourself. And when he does that, you know, and combines these two commandments together, people are confused because, of course, he's elevating. He says that the second commandment is like the first one. In other words, implying that it has the same degree of heaviness as the first one. And so he elevates the love of neighbor to the same status as the love of God, and then says that love of God informs love of neighbor, and love of neighbor informs love of self, and love of neighbor and self inform the love of God. So he's got it together in this inextricable synthesis, raising the love of neighbor up to the status of the love of the divine one, the love of God. So that's, you know, already the consequences are absolutely huge. And in order to do this, you know, Jesus is going to change, you know, what is, you know, called the central commandment. You know, prior to Jesus, every single religion, including Judaism, in which there's two mentions of it, has the silver rule, right? Do not do unto others what you would not have them do unto you. Don't do a harm to others that you wouldn't want done to you. But Jesus removes the knots. And now we have do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now we've got do the good for others that you would want done to you. Well, the good you would want done to you goes way, way, way beyond avoiding unnecessary harms, right? You know, you just don't want people to avoid doing necessary harms. You want people to treat you well. You want people to treat you with respect. You want people to help you out when you're in need, even though you don't have a just claim or anything else, right? So these, all of a sudden, Jesus just takes the limits off of, you know, the law, the limits off of, you know, the moral expectation, and calls people to the fullness of love. So already, you know, the whole history of religions is changing. And then, of course, we know one thing, that Torah reflects the heart of God for the rabbis. So, if Torah reflects the heart of God, and we take seriously the last line of our gospel reading, right, that the entire law and the prophets as well are summed up in this commandment, right, to love, then what does that mean? The whole Torah is summed up in the command. The Torah reflects the heart of God. Therefore, the commandment to love reflects the heart of God. We are being told who God is. And of course, the minute we see then that God is this unconditional love, that God is this agape, that God is this love, that God is not just the golden rule, he's the epitome of the golden rule, all the way to the love of enemies. We now see that we have this gracious and merciful God to rely on as we try to make our way to imitate him, which will become the epitome of the golden rule. It'll become the commandment to love, which we're asked to try and get to. And then, of course, we will literally be entering into the kingdom of unconditional love for all eternity with the God who has called us there from his own eternity. Amen. Amen. What could be more important than that?